there and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. I'm Mary Regan and I'm joined by the Sunday Business Post political correspondent Hugh O'Connell. Well, the long campaign on the referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment is drawing to a close, and all that's left now is for the 3.2 million people registered to vote to have their say. Hugh, at this stage on the eve of voting, which side do you think should be more confident?
I think the Yes side should be more confident, Mary. They have run a strong campaign, I think. It's been very clear throughout the course of the campaign that they have more people out canvassing for them every night. They have more people. They have sheer manpower and woman power. So they are able to hit more doors every night. They're able to leaflet more. Their online presence is strong by virtue of the fact that a lot of people, and the polling shows this, a lot of people who are going to vote yes are younger and more likely to use social media than people who are voting no, who tend to be in the older demographic and don't use the internet, or they're in rural areas and they don't have the internet. So I think, the Yes campaign added to that have had a good debate on Tuesday night, on the primetime debate, the final major debate, I suppose, where you saw Simon Harris, the Minister for Health, up against Paddy Tobin, the Sinn Féin TD, although not advocating the Sinn Féin position. He's avowedly pro-life, and I think that while Tobin was certainly the strongest politician I've seen advocate for a no vote in the last 6 weeks, Harris did catch him out on a number of occasions, and I think the force of his arguments was stronger and probably impacted undecided voters more than Tobin might have. And that's where the battle is at, really. It's for the undecided voters. I mean, the polling shows, obviously, in our paper and in other papers, all the polling shows a very clear lead for yes, over 50% in almost all polls. But the battle will be, and if the no side are to win, they will have to convince a lot, in fact, probably the vast, vast majority of undecided voters to vote no on Friday. So I think the Yes side will be confident, quietly confident. I think the No side are hoping that the undecideds break for them, are hoping that there are an awful lot of shy voters, no voters out there, are hoping the sort of feedback they've got on the doors from voters who think the government's proposal goes too far will go out and vote no on Friday. But certainly, if I was in the Yes camp, I'd be quite confident.
You mentioned that primetime debate, and there was a little bit of controversy over Cora Sherlock from the Love Both campaign withdrawing from that debate. Is there maybe, a bit of trouble in the No camp, do you think?
Yeah, what's interesting to observe, I suppose, over the last 5-6 days or so has been the No camp messaging switching slightly from sort of no abortion in any circumstances and protect unborn life to this idea that the government's proposal, which is just a proposal, and the government doesn't have a majority, so even if there is a yes vote, we're not really sure what the legislation is going to be. The No side has kind of suggested that the government proposal is too extreme, this idea of unrestricted access determinations up to 12 weeks, and then the potential on the basis of the draft legislation that abortions could be accessed quite easily after 12 weeks. Based on what's happened in other jurisdictions, and particularly the UK, a model they continually talk about. They've said effectively that the government's proposal is too radical and that we should reject it on that basis and send them back to the drawing board. They're kind of saying that, look, we know there are hard cases, and the best way of dealing with these hard cases is to vote no and get the government to come up with something better after the referendum is rejected. So I think there's been a bit of tension within the campaigns as to some people who are on the no side who are advocating that message versus someone, say, for example, like Paddy Tobin, who's very strongly pro-life and doesn't really seem to agree with abortion in any circumstances, has consistently voted against any abortion legislation that's come before the Dáil in the last 5 or 6 years. So there's a bit of tension that exists there, and you're seeing that obviously manifesting itself in these shenanigans over the debate, where you have Cora Sherlock agreeing to debate Simon Harris, actually spending several weeks goading Simon Harris to debate her, and then he agrees to debate her and she pulls out. And then they put forward Maria Steen, a very strong no advocate who did very well in the Claire Byrne debate, Ortiz saying they don't want Maria Steen because they want a different voice, and it ending up with two men debating abortion on prime time on Tuesday night, which I don't think was great for either side, to be honest. So I think that's all a sideshow, really, though. I don't think that's going to impact votes either way. I don't think any no voter or any undecided voter is going to be swayed by the meltdown or whatever seems to be happening in the No campaign at the moment, the divisions in the No campaign, I don't think that's going to affect how someone votes on Friday.
Yeah, and there is this suggestion from the No side that, you know, if there is a no vote, the government can come back with proposals that are less liberal, for want of a better term. Is that argument gaining any traction, or has the government successfully countered that?
Well, I'm not sure. We don't really know, because, I mean, the polling that has been done was done pre the No camp kind of majoring on this argument in the last 5 or 6 days. I suppose what the Yes camp can point to is the fact that at no stage in the last 35 years, or even in the last 6 or 7 years when this issue has been a particularly hot topic, have the No people advocating a no vote come forward with alternative proposals, alternative constitutional amendments. The Yes camp can very reasonably and logically point to the work of the Citizens' Assembly in assessing this issue and looking at whether you could legislate for the hard cases, you know, cases of rape, cases of incest, fatal fetal abnormality. And they looked at it and they decided there was no way to really legislate in this way. To put in an alternative amendment or anything like that. They decided that the best way of doing this was taking out the Eighth Amendment from the Constitution. Similarly, the Oireachtas Committee, which considered the Citizens' Assembly recommendations, went in this direction. Now, there were a lot of complaints from pro-life TDs and No campaigners that the Oireachtas Committee was swayed and that they didn't consider all of the expert evidence and they didn't get in experts who would be of a pro-life disposition. So, you know, those are the battles that are taking place. You know, the Yes campaign, their job will be to say that, look, these guys on the No side have not come up with any alternatives. And that's, in fact, what Simon Harris was saying in the primetime debate the other night. You know, but the No camp, can they sow seeds of doubt amongst some voters, amongst some Yes voters, amongst most of the undecided voters, as they will have to do? And can they say that, look, you reject this, we'll come back and do it again? I mean, the No side can legitimately point to other countries where Portugal, for example, had a referendum in the late 90s. It was rejected and the government came back 10 years later with a different proposal. So, you know, they can argue that, I think, effectively the No side, but I think equally the Yes side can come back and say, well, these arguments don't really have merit, because at no stage in the last 35 years has there been a proposal from the people who have consistently opposed repeal of the Eighth Amendment to do something for these particularly hard cases that I think everyone in Ireland, and indeed polling will show this, is the vast majority, between 70% and 80% of Irish people, do want something to be done for these hard cases of rape, incest, fatal fetal abnormality.
We've seen a bit of international coverage of this referendum in the past couple of days. You've been out and about at press conferences, on the campaign trail, at canvases. Is there a big international focus on what Ireland is voting on now?
Yeah, I think so. It's particularly noticeable this week, and you're seeing it even when you're kind of turning on Sky News now and they're doing stuff about Ireland's abortion wars. That's how they're kind of characterising it, which I think is a bit insensitive, to be honest. But I was at a Together for Yes event yesterday, and I saw an awful lot of international media there. There was French media, German media. They were interviewing Simon Harris. Similarly, I've seen international media at No events as well, and I think they're taking a great interest in this issue, because Ireland internationally has been seen as this kind of one of the last bastions of the Catholic Church, a deeply conservative state for the majority of its existence, in hock to the Catholic Church. And in recent years, because of the clerical abuse scandals, because of all the various controversies around the church that have emerged in the last 20, 30, 40 years, Irish people have moved away from the Catholic Church. And you're seeing that in all sorts of different ways in terms of mass attendance and so on. Ireland's a very different country from the one that existed in 1983. And I suppose internationally as well, you've seen this move, or it's perceived that Ireland has moved in a more socially liberal direction. We had, obviously, same-sex marriage in 2015, the first country in the world to have a popular vote on same-sex marriage. And then we have a gay Taoiseach who is from an immigrant background. His father is from India. So we have all of these things playing into a narrative around Ireland internationally, which is that it's moving from a Catholic backwater to a more liberal, secular state. To what extent that's true, there's a degree of truth to it, obviously, but I think, you know, we should acknowledge the fact there's still an awful lot of people who identify themselves as Catholic in this country. Census results will show that. Still an awful lot of people who go to Mass. And there is still influence of the Catholic Church. They have been active in this campaign. There's no point saying that they haven't been. They haven't been turning up at press conferences with the official No campaigns, nor have they been appearing on any debates, but they have been preaching from the pulpit, as is their right to do in what they believe is the sanctity of unborn life, and that no human life should be taken at any stage, either pre or post birth. And they are making that argument, and I think that the outcome on this weekend will, to some extent, it will feed into that narrative. If it's a yes vote, it will feed into the narrative that Ireland has rejected the Catholic Church now and is moving forward. If it's a no vote, I'm not sure how the international media will perceive it, but I suppose they might take up the view that Ireland, having moved in a certain direction, in a socially liberal direction on various issues over the last few years, has decided not to go that one step further in relation to abortion. But I think, irrespective of the outcome, the battle is, the abortion wars, as Sky News are calling it, for want of a better term, they will not finish. If it's a no vote, people will, on the yes side, won't give up. They will still point to the fact that women are travelling by the dozen every day to the UK for terminations, or they're importing abortion pills. And equally on the no side, if it's a yes vote, their next battle will be the legislation, and making the legislation as restrictive as possible to allow for as fewer abortions as possible.
Well, that's a discussion for another day. But for now, I suppose all eyes will be on Dublin Castle on Saturday, where I think we can expect a result sometime in the afternoon. And that's it for the Post podcast for now, on the eve of the historic referendum on the Eighth Amendment. Thank you for joining us.